because that's S-H-I-T. That spells shit, we're aware, and I know that's fucking weird, but listen to this shit.
Listen to me right now, okay? We all have feelings. We all have strong feelings. We all have urges and temptations and fears and anxieties. And we have joy. All right, we're human beings for fuck's sake. We have a lot of fucking things going on. We just do, okay? What are we supposed to do with all of these feelings? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? You know, it's nice when we feel spurts of joy and excitement and, you know, and then we feel it on the opposite end of the spectrum. We get fear. We have anxiety, and it's so funny because all of the rational thoughts in the world don't seem to make a difference when we're in that heightened state. And then, as if it's not bad enough, what our brains try to do is really figure out why. Just why? Why? Why am I in this heightened state? What is it? And then we start to dissect, and then we go down a rabbit hole. And the thing is that the why, it doesn't matter as much. And also, the why doesn't always really seem to exist. It's really speculative, right? It's so funny how there's like a little bit of... I think it's always important to recognize when feelings come up. Feelings and thoughts that come up, even if they're undesirable, I think it's helpful to mention them, because awareness is key. Always. But I have a little bit of shame that is still coming up with me just even admitting that I've been really anxious since the new year. And it's like, listen, you know, it's 2021 now, and it's kind of like, I feel subconsciously that I was expecting to, I don't know, hit the ground running and feel great because it's no longer 2020. And it's like, you know, I think just that pressure alone, that expectation. I don't even know what I was expecting. Wasn't a child, that's for sure. That's because I'm gay. You know, nothing feels as comforting as the truth sometimes when we are ready to face it. Kind of almost like if we're feeling bad, whether we're sad or we're angry or we're something, doesn't it feel good to relate to others who are feeling that way, or who can understand and really empathize, not necessarily in a misery loves company kind of way, but just being able to hear it. You know, when we feel feelings of shame and guilt, sadness, any kind of pain, we tend to go into this place of isolation. You know, even if we know intellectually we're not alone, we tend to go into this place this place where we other ourselves, you know, where we're kind of in this own little hole that only we can fit into. And the truth is that hole is large. That's what she said. The hole is large, and a lot of people are in it, just from time to time. What is my fucking point here? The truth. It feels good for me when I'm listening to a podcast, or a video or something with someone, whether it's somebody I admire, you know, in the entertainment industry or whatnot, or a spiritual leader, and you listen to them and they're speaking your language, right? You feel seen, because it's like, holy shit, this person has also felt this way. It's really comforting, because then, you know, it also provides this feeling of hope, like, well, look how well they're doing, or look, they seem happy and they've gone through this experience. You know, why can't I? And I say all of this because, you know, there are still things that come up in my brain. Now, you know, if I were to record this and be telling you all of the things that come up for me all of the time, I mean, this would just be like a live 24/7 stream. And, because it's a lot of shit. But my bigger point is, it's important for me to share stuff, even, you know, even if I label myself as being pretty healthy and doing well for the most part. And, you know, I'm in recovery. I've been sober for the better part of a year. And, you know, right, there's all this shit, but things still come up, right? We're not immune. We're not immune to hard feelings. And I think a lot of time when we start healing, if you will, or, you know, because when I say healing, I mean, it involves a lot of stuff, you know, loving ourselves, processing things, getting ourselves the help we need, honoring our souls, our desires, you know, whatever that means. When we, come into a place when we're allowing ourselves to heal, past wounds, whether we know what they are or don't, you know, whether we remember or whatnot, a lot of the time we are uncovering things that we didn't quite know were there, or that we were distracting ourselves from. So it's so funny, you know, this idea of being on a healing journey is so, what is the word? I mean, I guess elusive could be one of them, but it's not this, you know, it's not like being guided by angels up a staircase through all, you know, and you're just receiving all this, like, there's hard shit that you uncover. And we do that, you know, we do that for the rest of our lives if we are allowing ourselves to evolve as humans. We go through this kind of shit. So all of that to say, I think that it's important that I talk about my anxieties and fears, things that are coming up. I know that on some level, probably every person can relate to this stuff. And sometimes when we get into those negative spirals, we create more shame, and we feel that guilt come up for having these thoughts and feelings. And, you know, we know that doesn't help. We know that getting down on ourselves isn't going to help. It's just, we're just causing ourselves more hurt, and we're not trying to hurt ourselves, you know, when these things come up. But they are coming up sometimes for reasons we really can't explain. So I just want to share what's been going on with me lately. And this is something that I've mentioned a handful of times, I think, throughout these episodes. And that is my fear of the mortality of my mother. I mean, I have that with any and all of my loved ones, but with my mom, it's like super, super extreme. It's extreme. And, you know, in an obvious way, it makes sense that a lot of this would be coming up now, right? I'm currently living with her. Our relationship is pretty good. You know, we are still in a pandemic. I am someone who struggles with codependency, and I worry about my mom's health, and I feel not intellectually, you know, it's hard to admit this because I know that separating myself, you know, from others in a sense where I'm not responsible for them is really important to me, but it's true. I have felt responsible for my mother's well-being and her happiness, believe it or not, for I think a really long time. And I didn't quite grasp that notion until just recently. Thankfully, you know, through talking shit out, of course, in therapy and with my sponsor and a few of my really great friends who I'm really blessed to have, who are not afraid to tell me the truth, you know, because they know it will benefit me. I mean, look, you have some friends that'll speak the truth, as in they'll just say what's on their mind and say, "Hey, you're an asshole." You know, I'm just referring to the people who can give, you know, real constructive criticism. I think that's really important in close friendships. It's not always easy. In fact, it can be really scary, but I think in close friendships, it's important to feel like you're able to be honest with your friends about your feelings. And I don't know. I mean, I like when the motivation is love and growth, I love being challenged by my friends. I mean, I need nurturing. I do love being nurtured, but I also love being challenged. Especially because I've always said that I have so many feelings that it's so nice to be challenged, and usually that gets me back into a practical mindset. But just continuing on, you know, through you know, these modes of, you know, sharing and processing feelings and thoughts, I realize, like, Jesus, I have felt responsible for my mother's happiness and well-being. And my mom, you know, maybe in ways that are subconscious, but like, she's never done anything obvious that would make it seem so sensical that I would want to take that on, you know? Like, she's not pressured me to be her everything or fulfill, you know, all of this shit. I mean, of course we want to make our parents proud and happy and all that, but I've realized that I just have some really skewed views of her life and of other people's lives. And it's like there's this, I realized something, and I know that I'm not ill-intentioned, but something that really bothers me is that I tend to feel pity for people easily. And I've had a tendency to feel pity for myself easily. And just, there's just something that's so, and I'm trying to say this with less judgment, but there's something kind of a little icky to me about that, you know, like you're kind of putting this sad, helpless energy onto another creature. And it's like, why? You know, pity doesn't help anyone. It's kind of like, it's like guilt. I mean, guilt's a normal, common feeling response, but it ultimately doesn't do any good. I mean, it's a catalyst for then maybe, you know, making amends or, you know, doing, quote unquote, right by someone. But pity is just like this sad, I don't, you know what I mean? It's like for instance, I used to hate seeing homeless people. I mean, you know, and I've lived in LA for the last 7 years. They're everywhere. And, I mean, this is such a complex topic, even though I guess it doesn't need to be. I mean, it's hard to digest the fact that some people don't have places to live, you know? You know, and then I can make myself feel better by saying, well, you know, a lot of these people, some of these people have chosen this. And, well, at least it's warm outside. And, you know, whatever the things we need to tell ourselves to make ourselves feel better. But I guess my point is, it's like, I mean, I can feel that. I'm not trying to judge that twinge of feeling I get where I just, oh, that's so hard to look at. That's so hard to see. But, you know, but how long is this pity feeling going on for? That's not really helping. And in fact, what if this energy of feeling this pity somehow is actually a detrimental to this person? And I know that sounds bizarre, but I do believe in energy and in that way. So for me, it's like now I try and spend less emotion, or at least I try and direct my emotions of feeling pity onto at least something that I can control. Like if I see a homeless person, and I can spare like a couple dollars, or if I just happen to have food on me, which I usually have a snack or snacks in my car, I will give them, you know. I mean, I'm in Pittsburgh right now. There's not as many homeless people as LA, but they still exist. And, you know, I can give them a piece of food and smile at them. And it's just like, what a nice, I mean, it's such a small thing, but, you know, it's doing good. I mean, I'm digressing here, but that's my little take on pity. You know, I also feel like we sell people short, when we do that. You know, it's like, let's trust that people have more power than we're giving them, whether they know it or not. Anyways, it's tricky, but I, you know, I've had this idea and I recognize this, that from a young age, I think I felt like I had to take care of my mother because of circumstances. There was a lot of volatility. That's a word, right? Volatile, volatility. There was a lot of chaos going on. And some fucked up energies and things with people. I don't want to call people out, you know, but, you know, in my family, there was a lot of stuff going on, and I realized, I don't know how it took me this long to realize this, but from a young age, I think I felt like I needed to comfort and console and maybe calm my mom down. Now, I don't really have specific instances of doing this, but it makes so much sense why I would have felt like this from a young age. You know, a lot of this has happened to a lot of us where we play that role, you know, and that's kind of where the codependency comes into play, where we, you know, we feel responsible for taking care of our people, of our loved ones, right? Because they're like this, you know, we've basically made them into being an extension of ourselves. And, you know, this was, you know, among the many things, that I think kept me running from my hometown of Pittsburgh, which I've been in now for three straight months. That hasn't happened in over 11 years. One of the things that kept me running from Pittsburgh, I think, was the stress that I felt when it came to family dynamics. And, you know, yes, I want to be in entertainment. I want to express myself. I want to do comedy, and I want to be in a television show, and I want to have a spot. I want to do all of these things. But it was, you know, it made it so much easier for me to run away, you know, and be, you know, 2,500 miles away, because I wouldn't have to deal with the family stuff, right? So it was like kind of like a two for one. And it makes sense that now that I'm home and sober and really working on myself and really trying to live in my truth and you know, get closer to discovering and more importantly, I think, you know, manifesting all of these things that I've desired for a really long time. It makes sense that all of this shit is coming up now. And like a lot of people too, especially when it comes to anxiety, there's that feeling, right? Especially when things seem to be going well, that you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Well, I'm feeling good right now. That means something fucked up is going to happen. It's right around the corner. There's no way around it. That feeling sucks. That feeling sucks, right? Because it feels like we're never going to let ourselves be happy. But don't forget, more of that shame comes up when we do that. You know, more of that shame comes up. You know, I think that it's helpful and that we need to find a balance between, you know, understanding and making sense of certain things and not going down a rabbit hole of trying to understand everything, because it's never going to happen. You know, our lives are not math problems to be solved. There are some things that might always feel like a mystery, you know, and it's anxiety alone, you know, that kind of usually propels us to want to figure stuff out, because it's the uncertainty that is giving us the anxiety. And uncertainty is fucking scary. You know, our lives have always been uncertain. There's so much uncertainty in the world, but we create these lives and routines and things and habits and stuff that kind of, I think, often give us this false sense of security. Like, well, as long as I'm doing this, this won't happen. And it's, I think we all know from experience, or at least from witnessing other people's circumstances, is that there are no guarantees. I mean, there are never any guarantees. I mean, I think it's important to live our lives in a way that feels good, right? That feels good to us, you know, meaning, you know, certain amounts of security. Whether it's financial or physical or whatever that means to someone, you know, if that feels good, great, you do it. But again, nothing is ever guaranteed. I mean, shit, remember in the song Ironic by one of my absolutely most magnificent idols of all time, Alanis Morissette. God, that took me so long to get out. You know, when she says, an old man, wait a minute, I feel like I can't say these lyrics without singing them. Oh, yeah. An old man turned 98. He won the lottery and died the next day. Right? The guy was, I mean, I'm sure this was a fictitious thing. Or maybe it wasn't. Look, people have won the lottery and died the next day. My point is there's only so much we can do. And finding a sense of peace within that, of saying, you know, I'm going to do the best that I can and know that no matter what happens, that somehow I'm going to be okay. Now you might ask yourself, well, what is okay? And the answer is, you know, okay is whatever you want okay to be. But okay doesn't always mean it's going to be, you know, a guarantee of material possessions or your loved ones staying alive and all of this shit, you know? Because there's just certain facts to life. And these facts, man, fuck me up. You know, I have a couple of really, really dear friends who have had like a few really painful losses in their lives just in the last couple of years, some in the last couple of months. And I feel for them so hard. And, you know, some of these are COVID related, but some of them aren't. And I just, you know, when I watch them going through, you know, the grieving process and then feeling a little better as time goes on. And for the longest time, I've thought to myself, how am I going to deal with the loss of my loved ones when I feel like I can hardly handle just life and my own thoughts and fears. It's just so terrifying. And this is, I know this isn't a rare thing. It's not a rare thing. We all experience this. I mean, my God, it's hard watching our parents get older. It's incredibly difficult to see a friend, a loved one be sick. I mean, I think about the parents who have children who are like terminally ill. I mean, it's just, and I think to myself, I couldn't handle it. I really, really couldn't handle it. And it's just like, it's just unimaginable. And then you witness or you hear stories about people coming out the other side of grief when they didn't think they were going to make it. And, you know, I don't know what I'm capable of. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, what I wish that I could have is a guarantee that my mom is going to live at least another 10 to 15 years, at least. You know, and then I think about the fact that she's been a smoker for 40 plus years, and it just fucks me up, man. But this past week and a half, I don't know. It's so funny. It is funny in a way because, you know, I'm staying with my mom. I never thought that I would be living with her for a few months. You know, and that's not really that long of a time, but I never thought that I would be living with her for any amount of time ever again. I mean, I've lived in a completely different city than she has for over 11 years. And I'm getting this time now to spend with her. And it seems like every day, lately, at least within the last couple of weeks, that anxious thought, that fearful thought of your mom's gonna die, she's gonna die at some point, you don't know when, enjoy your time, it could be happening now, maybe that's the reason you're home and you don't know it. Like, this shit has been going through my brain obsessively, and it's upsetting because, you know, I have been learning and, like, really, really sort of basking in the law of attraction teachings lately. And then I start to get more anxious that those thoughts are coming up, because then I'm thinking, Jesus, am I perpetuating this? So if something happens to my mom anytime soon, I'm going to blame myself because I've been thinking about it so much that I fear that I'm going to will it into existence. You know, and then it's just spiral, spiral, spiral. And, you know, and then I talk about it and I share it, even though I kind of hate doing that because, again, I don't want to keep bringing it up, right? I mean, the law of attraction says, you know, whatever you're focusing on, however you're feeling, you know, whatever your vibration is, you know, you're going to keep getting more of that. And again, you know, then I talk to my new therapist, who's lovely, and I talk to my sponsor, who's fucking awesome, and I talk to my close friends, and, you know, I'm getting a healthy dose of nurturing, but a lot of, you know, practicality in here. Like, look, your mom's going to die one day. She's going to die. It's like, I hate saying that. But, you know, I got to be able to say it because if not, I don't know. I feel like I'm really letting the fear have a stronger grip over me if I don't. And, you know, it's like these things are going to happen. We don't know when. We really don't know when. There is no guarantee here. So, you know, let's try and be more present and, you know, enjoy the moment and just enjoy it for what it is. And that's what I keep telling myself. And it's like this little anxiety demon that's just been creeping up. It's just like poking my brain. Like, your mom's gonna die, your mom's gonna die, your mom's gonna die, your mom's gonna die. I feel like that's what the voice of a bumblebee would sound like. And I just know that sharing these things out loud is helpful to me, even though it feels scary to share them as well, because I do fear that I'm perpetuating it. But it's just like anything, right? It's anything that we feel maybe guilty over or have shame about. It's like, if we don't talk about this kind of stuff, I don't know. It's like, it's in there. It's in our brains. It's in our bodies. It's like plaguing us in a way. And it's just ruminating. And it's creating, I don't know what it's creating. You know, I don't know if it's turning into a tangible thing. I don't know if I'm going to get a tumor. It's not a tumor. I don't know if I'm going to, you know, get sick because of anxiety or whatnot. I don't know. But what I do know is that it's stealing my joy. It's stealing my, my time to just be in the present moment. You know, I mean, look, there's a few things that are guaranteed. One is that, you know, what we know for sure, because we don't know what happens whenever we die. We don't. Not you know, for sure, but we do know that, you know, us right now in these human bodies, that we do pass away. We do. And That plus change, you know, change. All of these things are guaranteed. For sure. But so is the ability to create and cultivate love and peace and belonging, you know. And yes, there's also chaos and hate and evil and all of these things. But again, this is just, it's tricky because I feel like, why can't I just be more lighthearted and live in joy and do things that are fun and not be plagued by my thoughts? This is bullshit, you know? And then I blame myself more and it just continues to spiral. And then I remind myself, you know, it's winter. I haven't experienced like an East Coast winter in, you know, at least 8 years. You know, and the sun's not out as much, and you know, all of these, you know, explanations for why I feel certain things. And again, there's not always an explanation, but our fears, even though they're terrifying, I do think that on some level, you know, our fear of the fear is way more painful than the thing that we are actually fearing. I do think that, because we don't know how things are going to pan out. We don't know, which is also really scary. I get that. I obviously get that, but I'm trying to accept this and also be helpful to myself and to others at the same time, you know. I do think it's important to share our fears. And I mean, my God, I mean, anxiety, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, actually, as I was brushing my teeth, I was thinking about how I always feel better after I go for a walk, or a jog or something. And then I remember that back, you know, before civilization, was, you know, as it is now, where we, you know, we don't have to go out and hunt for food. You know, we're not living, outside in you know, conditions that people did, you know, hundreds of years ago and whatnot. You know, back in the caveman days, I think about how, you know, people had to be on alert because they were more likely to face dangerous situations. You know, I say that now and I'm remembering that it's like, well, we drive cars and we do a lot of dangerous shit all the time. But, you know, people had to I don't know. I mean, didn't people have to keep themselves from being eaten by wild animals? I mean, granted, the wild animals were also being hunted by humans, but there are these instinctual things that come up for us as humans that are, you know, the fear and the anxiety and all of this stuff that serve as a purpose. These are useful things, you know. Accepting that I'm not going to be happy and joyful all the time is a really important thing to remember. It's just, it's not practical. And, you know, it's just like when people say, I mean, if people really say, are there some people out there who really think that world peace is a thing? I feel like there's so many people, it doesn't exactly work like that. And I'm an optimist, but, what's my point about the world peace thing? It's kind of like if everybody was in sync with one another and agreed on everything and, you know, like life wouldn't be what life is. We would all just be in this utopian existence. And I mean, look, at the absolute minimum, I mean, right, it would be boring. It would be boring, but we appreciate, I think that one of the biggest things with life is learning to appreciate all aspects of it, especially the scary parts, you know? It's so funny how, you know, some people try so hard to be so positive, and they really, really, I think, ignore and neglect, you know, the darker sides to themselves. And it is a part of our human nature. That doesn't mean that we need to live in our shadow self all of the time, but it does need to be honored, you know? And, you know, I will always believe that there is more good and love and optimism in the world than not. I will always believe that. And, you know, unless the world goes up in flames, starting with the United States in the next couple of weeks. Listen, it is almost mid-January 2021. No, I look, you know, there's so many things that we're seeing that we've never seen before in our lifetime. Doesn't matter how old you are. But I think understanding and at least knowing, you know, whether you're a history buff or not, is that the world goes through changes. And usually what is a catalyst to those changes are really painful, tragic fucking events. I'm not saying it's great. It sucks. It sucks, right? But I think the quicker we are to accept that, I mean, the more at ease we will be. Because it's, you know, it's also really fair to remind myself and you that we do have a choice. We always have a choice on what we'd like to focus our attention on. Listen, for the rest of eternity, however long that is, well, I guess it's eternity, so it's never ending, but there's always going to be good, there's always going to be bad, and I hate those terms, they feel so generic, and they are subjective. I mean, let's just be real about that, they're subjective, but you know, there's going to be love, there's going to be hate, there's always going to be these things no matter what. We always have a choice of what we want to focus on. We do. And I had to be real with myself, actually, this past week, because I was telling my friend, you know, for a little while there, especially for the first couple of months that I was in Pittsburgh, I was able to really focus on what feels good and focus on the positive. And I was doing it, and I was like really vibrating high, and I was feeling great. And I felt like, holy shit, I really do have a choice. Like, I can create my reality, if you will, you know? And then I had to be honest with myself and tell my friend on the phone this past week, you know, I know that I have the choice right now to focus on things that are going to make me feel better, but I kind of don't want to. You know, and that's a hard thing to admit, because it's like, well, what am I trying to do then? Am I trying to have a pity party for myself? What's going on here? And the answer is, I don't know. I think that maybe in a way it was my inner being saying, you know what, you're going to go through this, just this little process right now. It's going to be painful. It's not going to last forever, but this is necessary for you to, I don't know, be propelled to go in this direction or this direction. You know, who really knows how these things work? This is the magic of uncertainty. That being said, there are things that help with my anxiety. And I've said them before and I'll say them again. Deep breaths. This shit is so simple, but deep breaths. deep breaths. I'm not saying that it's gonna cure, you know, a panic attack. It's not gonna happen right away, but deep breaths are always so vital for anxiety. Deep breaths, prayer if you're into it, meditation if you're willing to do it, calling a friend if you're willing to allow yourself to do that. These things are helpful. Isolation, not so much. Listen, it's important that we get comfortable spending time with ourselves, but it's also important that we don't spend so much time with ourselves that we're afraid to let others in. So I just wanted to throw that in there too. Just to be aware, just so that you're aware. You are deserving of love and joy and happiness, and to allow yourself to feel what you're feeling and to know that you will get through it and that you are supported. I want to say one last thing. I said that I was going to do something and I did not follow through. On my previous episode, I said that the next recording that I was going to release was going to be basically some affirmations that I have been writing out. And a lot of these are affirmations that I've already heard, that I've collected from other sources and videos. But I wanted to do one, basically a compilation of ones that always resonated with me the most, and then share them with you guys. I'm still working on that list. I haven't created it yet. I will release that sometime within the next week. So thank you so much for being patient. I just wanted to call myself out. Bethany, you're forgiven. Oh, thank you so much, Bethany. Okay, great. And I'm just sending you, whomever you are, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here with me today. I really hope this was helpful. I hope you feel a little bit more connected. You are loved and supported. Be safe. I hope that you are staying healthy and take care of yourselves. And God bless you if you're into it.
That's self-help ideas and thoughts with Bethany. Oh, that was a good ending, you dickhead.